We were moving. Drover and I sat there like frozen statuaries, staring ahead at the swirling white void that lay just beyond the windshield. Alfred gripped the wheel. We were heading toward the edge of a little hill that sloped down to the yard. Maybe he tried to turn, or maybe he saw what was coming and froze with fear, but he didn't make the turn. We chugged forward, came to the lip of the hill, and started down, picking up speed and, good grief, we were headed straight towards the fence. We came to a sudden stop. Drover and I were thrown to the floor and ended up in a pile of legs and tails. We scrambled our respective legs around and managed to get ourselves properly aligned, but not before Drover kicked me on the nose. Twice. Would you stop kicking me on the nose?
Well, I was just trying. We had a wreck.
I'm aware of that, but a wreck doesn't give you license to kick and paw the head of ranch security on the nose. At last, I struggled to a sitting position and saw that we had just rammed the pickup into the fence around Sally Mae's yard and had laid a section of it flat on the ground. That was bad enough, but we were lucky the pickup had died in the process. Otherwise, we might have driven right into the bedroom where Slim... Huh? Uh-oh. Speaking of Slim, guess who stepped out on the porch at that very moment? Yikes. He had looked sweeter and nicer when I thought he was a mummy monster. He surveyed the damage, shook his head, and motioned us into the house. I turned my eyes to little Alfred. He was still gripping the steering wheel and had a sick look on his face.
Oops. I wonder what I did wrong. I guess you're supposed to push in the clutch before you turn on the key.
Right. And I had tried to warn him about that.
Well, I guess we're in trouble again. Slim looks mad. And when my mom gets home...
He made a scary face. I began rehearsing my alibi. Sally Mae, I know this looks pretty bad. I mean, the fence knocked down and the honey tracks in the kitchen and, yes, the flour all over the... I realize it appears that we spent most of our time goofing off and engaging in, well, riotous behavior, but I think I can explain everything. That's as far as I got. The terrible truth was that I couldn't explain everything. I couldn't explain any of it, except to say that, well, one thing had led to another. And yes, we were in trouble again. Alfred opened the pickup door and we trooped into the house. Slim was waiting there in the utility room, towering above us like a huge tree with his arms crossed. Okay, maybe trees don't have arms, but he was darn sure towering, and his arms were crossed, and his puffy red eyes made him look pretty scary. Drover and I went straight to the rug and dropped like rocks and assumed the pose of sleeping dogs. Maybe he'd think we'd been there all along. Yes, that was it. We'd been there on the rug all along, good dogs to the end, and we knew nothing, almost nothing at all about the, crisis involving the pickup and the fence. That had been little Alfred's deal. We dogs had been sleeping away, and then suddenly we'd heard this crash, this loud crash, and we'd raised our heads, and, well, that had been our first indication that something... His gaze was burning us up. I felt his eyes on me. I squirmed and cringed and melted into a puddle of hair. At last, I dared to lift my head and give him a limp cowdog smile that struggled to say, "Oh, hi there. We just woke up and..." "You knotheads. Do you see what y'all have done to the dadgum fence? What were you trying to do out there?" Alfred hung his head and pooched out his lips. A tear slid down his cheek.
"We were just trying to help, Swim. You were sick, so me and my doggies were going to find Miss Viola. I didn't mean to...
That did it. He broke down and started bawling. Slim watched in silence as tears rolled off the boy's cheeks and splattered on the floor. I noticed that, the ice in Slim's eyes began to melt just a bit. He looked away and shifted his weight to the other leg. He swallowed, causing his Adam's apple to hop around. Alfred must have noticed too, because he turned up the volume and spilled some more tears. I saw an opening here and began tapping out the rhythm of "We'll Never Pull the Stunt Again" with my tail, and began beaming sincere, mournful looks in his direction. Have we ever done that song? Maybe not. Here's how it went.
Hey, Slim, we know we really goofed up badly. Our hearts are broken beyond repair. And now all three of us are feeling sadly. That's why we're hiding beneath this chair. We understand how bad this looks. We're feeling like three common crooks. We only wanted to impress and help a lady in distress. Oh yeah, okay, we know we should have waited for you to come out and lend a hand. And now the fence is flat, we really hate it. We're feeling smaller than grains of sand. The damage is already done. We better hide his mother's gun. Or maybe you could don your clothes and fix the fence so no one knows. Okay, it's time for tragic looks and pleading. We beg forgiveness for our sin. So be assured our broken hearts are bleeding. We'll never pull this stunt again. You think we're kidding? No, we'll never pull this crazy stunt again.
By George, it was working. Before our very eyes, Slim's flint heart began to soften, and he said, "You knotheads, it was my bad luck to get sick in a house with the Three Stooges. Okay, I'll pull on some clothes and we'll see if we can find Viola. I just hope I can stay awake to drive. I think I've got ensleepalosis." Alfred stopped crying.
"I can drive."
"Sure you can. We just seen a prime example of your driving skills, and I ain't impressed." He beamed us one last glare and went off to the bedroom, muttering under his breath. We waited. He didn't return. 5 minutes passed, 10 minutes. Alfred began to fidget. Then he motioned for me to follow him, and we went creeping through the house to see what was going on. We passed through the, through the kitchen, and somebody sure needed to get that place cleaned up. It looked even worse than I remembered. We hurried through the kitchen and entered the darkened living room, and there was Slim, sitting in the chair, asleep. It appeared that he had sat down to pull on his boots, had gotten one pulled on, and had fallen asleep. Well, that was a heck of a way to start a rescue mission. Alfred tugged on his arm and woke him up. He blinked his puffy eyes and glanced around the room, then mumbled, "I'll be darned. Must have dozed off." He finished pulling on his boots, put on his heavy coat and wool cap, and we were ready to brave the howling storm and rescue the lady in distress. We tromped through the house, gathered Mr. Shivers from the utility room, and went out into the storm. When we reached the pickup, Slim studied the damaged fence. He didn't say anything, but he gave us a glare that would have wilted a vase of flowers. He wasn't real proud of us, it seemed. He locked in the front hubs, which activated the four-wheel drive, and checked to be sure he had a tow chain in the back of the pickup. Then he opened the door, and the three of us loaded up and sat on the cold seat, which was very cold. We shivered and breathed clouds of fog. Slim cut his eyes at us. "Y'all are fogging up the windshield. Reckon you could quit breathing for half an hour or so?" Well, just what did he think? Okay, he was joking. He smiled. With these cowboys, you never know. Sometimes they come up with bonehead ideas and they're serious. He started the motor, wiped off the windshield with the back of his glove, put the pickup in reverse and said, "Well, let's see if we can back out of your mama's yard." He gunned the motor, popped the clutch, and we plowed our way back up the hill. Then he put her in first gear, and we drove around the north side of the machine shed, past the shelter belt, and on north towards the county road. The north-south roads had blown clear of snow, but when we reached the county road and turned east, we found it pretty well drifted over. Slim turned on the windshield wipers and squinted at the road ahead. "Boy, this is a nasty little storm. You sure don't expect this kind of snow so early in the year." He turned to Alfred. "If I know your daddy, I'll bet he's about to go nuts listening to the weather report on the radio and walking the floor." His brow furrowed and he lifted his nose. "Somebody in this pickup stinks."
"It's my doggies. They got wet from the snow."
"You sure it ain't you?"
"It's not me, I promise."
"Well, okay. But just in case, you better take a bath before your mama comes home. By the way, how did it happen that them dogs ended up inside the house?"
Alfred rolled his eyes.
"Well, it was cold outside, and I guess they just came in."
"Uh-huh. Well, if we should happen to make it back to the house alive, it might be all right for them dogs to..."
You won't believe what happened next. All of a sudden, he fell asleep. Right in the middle of a sentence, Slim fell asleep at the wheel. His chin drifted down on his chest and the pickup began drifting towards the ditch, or what used to be the ditch. Now it was a big snowdrift. I happened to be looking at him when his lights went out and I saw a crisis in the making. What did I do? I barked. Yes, sir. I issued a loud, clear bark to sound the alarm. It had no effect. He appeared to be in a deep measles sleep, but I managed to get Alfred's attention. He gave me a puzzled look, then glanced at Slim and saw what had happened. We were heading straight for a big snowdrift in the north ditch.